Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.3, The Thick Plottins, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Multitudinous.
Multitudinous?
A formal word with meanings that relate to multitudes.
Chapter 5. Murphy and Harry talk about the war with the Red Court as they stake out the meeting of Ordo Lebes. Before they go up to the meeting, they recognize a familiar face. So they discuss the meeting the meeting of Ordo Lebes.
Oh, such a great little exchange.
The Order of the Large Cooking Pot, which strikes me as it should have just been Kitchen Witches.
That would have worked too. Maybe too obvious. Maybe that's just too, like, again, they got to be a little bit more. It's like we're fancy. We're using Latin here. But again, just Murphy's rejoint, or maybe Order of the Cauldron, because it sounds more witchy and less stupid. I took a correspondence course, okay? I totally get it, but at the same time, I'm like, it is so funny. It's like, seriously? Like, again, he's getting so... Because this has obviously been like a running thing for him and all. It doesn't come up a whole lot, right? But it's like, he's so like, I know Latin. I took Latin. I know. I got this.
I'm a wizard.
The actual translation, right? Not thinking about... He should be like... Oh, yeah, I guess if you're, colloquially, that would make more sense.
Here's an age check. Do you remember, I think they came in
Why
like magazines.
Why is she looking at me when she says that?
Because I know this one's probably just going to blank when I say this, but maybe. And I think they came in like those little card things that were like, you could check off which fancy university courses that you could get. By correspondence.
Oh,
and they
yeah,
were like
yeah,
in
yeah.
like the back of magazines or like
Yeah. The little insert to the Yeah. I feel like it's a thing, yeah.
Do you remember them?
No correspondence courses in my life. Well, there are, but they're like, Google provided.
Yeah. And they would have like these, if you could get a fancy degree and it's an official degree. And
then I forgot.
By correspondence, and then you had a little check box for what course what degree you wanted. And then you'd send it off. I never did.
No.
Because I was like...
It's funny, because just you saying that now is like... I'm like, oh yeah, magazines used to be full of like little rip-out cards for everything. Or just like loose little cards that were always like stuck into it. But yeah, I forgot how many little advert thingies, little coupons and college degrees and like the perfume back, samples.
Like the last two pages also always used to be these super trashy ads too. It was like these weird things. And my sister did this to my aunt, and my aunt did it back to my sister. So my sister clipped a bunch of those things, because they were like things for like buy girdles or like anti-aging cream and like the snake oil sort of like silly things. And so she took a box and clipped all those aging things from the backs of the magazines and pasted it to the box and gave it to my aunt for her 40th birthday. And look, it had a present in it too. But my aunt also waited, because there's only 6 years difference between them, and presented the same box back to my sister on her 40th.
Tee-hee.
It was cute.
That is cute. Jessica, you're...
Thank God they lost the box for me.
Woo, thank God that was a longer time coming.
So like the only person that I could think of to give to it after would probably be you.
Hey.
That's right. Jessica is quickly approaching.
Give me a second.
And I'll have Alzheimer's by then, I'm sure.
With Harry on the preferring your own vehicle, Because everything is exactly where it's supposed to be and where I know. But, yeah, it's pretty big fucking accusation for either one of them to come at the other about control issues.
It's funny, though, because I have never driven a Volkswagen Bug. I'm not sure I've ever even ridden in one.
That was the first thing I ever drove.
Was it?
Yeah, my sister had one.
Very cool.
And it was a standard, and she didn't tell me how to stop. And I just squealed the whole way down the street.
Yay!
It was fun, though.
Sisters for you.
Yeah. But how do I stop?
But okay, so maybe you can attest to this, because I have heard the interiors of Beetles are actually fairly roomy. All things good. Like, they're a small car, but
I was
also
probably
like,
12, so
my
super roomy
perception of roomy might be a little bit skewed.
Gotcha. Okay. That driving lesson.
So Harry recognizes one of the women entering the building as a Bach-ordered books patron.
Patron. I like that he's actually able to pick out a couple of them and be like, hey, I've actually seen them in the space. They're from the
community.
Yeah. You know, like it lends itself to both them and Harry as being part of this world, actually.
Yeah, and it's nice that it's not like just Max either, because I don't remember originally that's kind of what I, because just because he says often when he goes there and he's like, oh, I know a few people from around, right, and it's sort of the automatic. But it's like, oh, no, it's not just, like, one of the people hanging out in the pub or whatever. It's like, oh, from, like, the bookstore. And, right, it's so bringing in, like,
Billy
more
and Georgia
the
had a threesome with her.
Oh, yeah.
Mom brought books with her. Lash, like, has done her face, like, 10 times.
Right. Yeah, it's like, they're all
I don't know how Lash
now.
Met her, but
that's the one that was giving me funny looks when I was apparently talking to myself. Whoops.
Whoops. It doesn't matter, because as long as, like, the image is in there somewhere, Lash has access to it. So yeah, he could have completely forgotten about it, and she could still pop that person up, like, 100 times. How awkward would that suddenly be, though? Suddenly be like, oh, I have been, oh, that's my fantasy fodder right now. Now I'm really uncomfortable because this person exists. And I just thought I was like imagining somebody really in the last, and all of a sudden I'm like,
he hasn't learned shame yet.
Thanks,
come on.
Lash.
That's facts.
Harry, though, over that, Harry would be embarrassed over. If you didn't realize he was like subconsciously.
I do had to laugh a little bit. They're like, anyone that has a Latin name for their organization, maybe we'll wait because they'll definitely be late. And I thought,
no power in the universe.
What's the Latin version of our podcast? Maybe. We should consider a rebranding.
Macanalius Pupcastius? It was.
And it sounds a little bit too much like Harry Potter.
So we get these funny little exchanges. So yeah, they're like, all right, let's give it a few more minutes here. And then Ruby's like, so how's the war? And wow.
Doc.
What a question indeed. And then, yeah, Harry's like, oh, well, so yeah. So we do find out after they went to Arctis Tor and pulled the forces away from Summer that they did do a smackdown and that sent the Reds running with their tails between their legs for a little while.
Been, oh, so quiet.
But some other nasty things. So they went and did like a training exercise, which is funny. Where he's like, you got to go out. And he's like, dude, when you're training like a bunch of baby wizards, you like throw a fire around. Yes, you get the fuck away as far from everybody as you can. Which, fair, Harry. I appreciate that. So yeah, so here they had all these little baby wizards and a couple of fucking ghouls attack and kill a cut, right? Harry's like, that's just not even directly war related. Harry's just like, Jesus, fucking fuckers.
Yeah, I definitely put them on my note here. Brutal.
Ugh. Yeah.
Not getting away with that.
Okay, so Murphy's been seeing that therapist that she's forced to go see now due to the whole blobity blobity blah we discussed last book. And she's now giving Harry some free advice, which is basically the advice that everyone we've ever met in this entire series has said, which is just calm down, just chill. Relax, bro. It's not that serious.
You can only do what you can do. After that, you can't. That is funny. It's a nice moment in the sense that Murphy is just trying to fit into the world she does and coming from right. Murphy is plenty sensitive and grounded and stuff like that. But again, tough cop, right? She's like, I don't want to deal with the shrinks and the hole and the, right? She wants to be that sort of invincible and tough because she's got, you know, physically appearance of being so stacked against her and whatever, right? But it's funny how, where she's like, you know, like, this was all really annoying. That's what they keep telling me. But now that I'm telling it to you, I can see some of the merit of it. And I'm like, it's so true in so many things, right? Like, you know, they're like, well, would you talk to, you know, like, what would you say if a friend was having trouble? You know, talk to yourself like that. I'm like, yeah, but I know. I mean, I don't listen to that bullshit. You know, like, so much easier for me to tell my friend that it was But yeah, it's kind of interesting where she's like, oh, fuck. I guess, yeah, I get more now where it's coming from. I guess that makes sense. I guess I should, you know, it's not just pseudo-psycho babble, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so sensitive to Harry, but also she says, why don't we just kill them all? Let God sort it out. Woo.
But honestly, I sometimes
not something I was really expecting her to say, but I guess, yeah.
Jaden cop
at. Well, that's, but I mean, yeah, she's more asking in his, right? Because he's saying, you know, because again, he's talking about the Merlin again doing all this like defensive and just letting everybody come at them and being like, oh, no, let's not make things worse, right? And he's like, we need to just fucking be done with it all or whatever, right? So I think that's the way she's sort of saying, like, that's his solution. Like, I'll just kill them all and let God sort them out, you know? And he's like, I don't fucking care of anybody. But so, yeah, not necessarily that she's, it's her plan, but more just like, is that where you're coming from? But honestly, in this context, if we're talking about humans, no. But considering we're talking straight up monsters, we're talking ghouls, we're talking reds, I can see that more. Yeah, Murphy has no love or empathy for those.
They're not my citizens.
They are not
her
citizens.
And to be fair, even to a certain degree, Murphy literally doesn't care about people outside Chicago. I'm not saying she hates everyone, but like she's very fair. She's like, if they're in my world, she's like, dump the body anywhere else. But if I find that body in Chicago, I'm coming after the white council.
Fair, right? Like, again, she's got her jurisdiction. Yeah. She's like, I can't police the whole world, you know? Same thing as Harry, right? Harry's like, I just care about
Chicago.
Yeah, man. And when you call me to Louisiana, I will go over there and kick that ghost butt that's haunting your mansion or tell you to stop doing so much drugs.
That's not what the ghosts in Louisiana are doing. They're providing the drugs.
No, it was Nashville or something the one time where he got called out and he's like, you want me to come like exercise his house? And he's like, I told him to just like lay off the alcohol and the pills or whatever. And he's like, had to go get some fancy exorcist in because I didn't do it. You know, he's like, fine, believe what you want. But
a little bit of a call out here. Don't know if it's come up yet, but I really did not remember the events of this book whatsoever.
Yes.
And I'm a little bit impressed that Harry, of all people, could still do the freeze thing and Helen Beckett didn't see him walking by. That he was able to pull that, like, just, like, act like a normal guy. She won't notice. Because, like, Harry, I just, like, I get he's the main character. I get I'm biased. But I don't think that man is standing out. Especially if I'm, like, a paranoid-ass fucking person like Helen Beckett.
You don't think he's standing out?
I don't think he's hiding.
You think this is, like, a magical thing that he's doing right here?
No, I think Jim Butcher's crazy right now.
Well, and it's funny because in pretty much every book...
They all do it, but...
No. He's like, I'm a big NBA-sized guy. Nobody misses me. I can't just blend in. Nobody's not going to notice me. He's like, I just, like, got out of the car and was like, ooh, don't notice me.
Right?
But yeah, I mean,
anyways.
I mean, if she's in her own little world and hyper focused on the door, maybe I don't know.
Because I was listening to it on the way over, and I was trying to.
I didn't take it anything special. I thought he just went, oh fuck.
Well, yeah, and I think that's all it is. But that's all she's saying though. She's just like, how do you not notice Harry?
Right.
Because that would if she walked like literally past him.
I hadn't yet shut the door when I saw the woman walking down the street towards the apartment building. She was tall, lean, her hair cut shorter than mine. She wore no makeup, none at all, and time had not been kind to her stark features. Back then, bloobity, bloobity, blue.
Yes, but that's what I mean, is everybody else, they've been watching from across the street.
Completely still. Yeah, but I don't know, it's just still weird to me. Anyways, all that to say is that Helen Beckett couldn't see Harry Dresden on the street. And I couldn't see Helen Beckett on the street because I was a significant way into this novel before I was like, oh, Helen Beckett of the Victor Cells.
I had to look it up. Federal
prison.
Helen Beckett. Which is hilarious because
he covers it all in the chapter that he introduces her in. You know who I was picturing for a significant portion of this book?
Who?
The lady who got killed by being chucked down a well or like, fucking
Trixie Vixen?
Not her.
Madge?
Madge. I was picturing Madge for a long time, and I was like, yeah, Madge.
Elizabeth Guns?
I was like, this all makes sense. This is Madge right now. Dylan went so far into the book. And then we were doing this thing called a quiz, and you were like, how did Madge die? Wait a second.
Something
Who's
doesn't
a bitch in the apartment?
And then I'm Who's like, the bitch in apartment 23?
Apartment 2B, yeah.
I had to look it up while you were saying that. Murphy had found a spot on the street, which made me wonder if she didn't have some kind of magical talent after all. Only some kind of could have gotten us a parking spot on the street in the shadow of a building. both of us inside of the apartment building's entrance. So it's in a shadow.
Yeah. So that could be anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the other people, it sounds like they've been crossing. So I kind of took it at that. Enough. And I, okay. like I say, when I was listening to it, there was a little bit like, is she? Because I feel the same thing. I'm like, if
we're eight cars kitty corner down and across.
Yes. I was like, had she walked past him, there, especially like you say, the motion of getting out of the car would draw your eye. If she was across the street going in, then I could see again without him making more movements and drawing more attention.
The motion she just did was the car wash.
The car wash, wavy arm guy.
Car salesman. Yeah.
And I suppose if both of them can see the entrance, that they might actually be a little bit behind.
So, yeah, that is, but yeah, that's my only thing is that she's not in direct. Because otherwise, you're absolutely right. And especially, like I say, since Harry himself points it out every time. You know, I can't hide in a crowd. I'm like 10 feet taller than everybody else.
My point was I wanted to call Helen Beckett out for not seeing this most obvious sign. Meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, Helen Beckett, her whole life's short.
I did some Googling.
It tracks. That fits.
I was like, who the fuck is this? Yeah. Butcher doesn't decide who's in this novel. I decide who's in this novel.
Right. She's like, this is just like the choose your own adventure one. I just fill in all the blanks for this one. This is my Mad Libs book.
For the next quiz in 5 years, the first question is going to be like, who's Helen Beckett? How many novels is Madgen? And I'll be like, four.
And because it'll be past three books, I won't remember anymore.
Like, Madge, wasn't that the Palmolive commercial? What?
Does she have dish palm hands?
She's sleeping with Marcone, right?
So just as well they waited those extra few minutes.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 6. Harry and Murphy interview the women of the Order Lebes. They learn that more than 20 magical users have gone missing in the last month and that some of the victims were seen with a beautiful, dark-haired stranger. So Murphy has a theory that maybe Helen has been trash-talking Harry, and that's why people are kind of scared of him.
Yeah, interesting theory.
Which would make sense, because he's been putting the work in.
Well, yeah, and she's like, Helen's got reason not to like you. And Harry's like, who doesn't? But, right? She's like, yeah, you busted up her operation to get back at Marcone. You busted up her operation to get Quick. You send her and her husband to jail. Like, all think, yeah, those are things most people don't appreciate having in their lives.
A multitudinous of reasons for her to not. Wrong?
She would have.
Is that how?
No.
Still wrong?
Keep trying. You'll get there.
Keep trying.
But, you know, keep trying in different ways. Not just the same example, but different words.
I just keep thinking it means multitude of reasons.
Damn. Does, but more so. Multitude means multitude. Multitudinous means.
Are we going to change our theme music to like the rainbow reading?
More you know.
Yeah. So has an interesting theory that exactly. She's like, I'm back out now. I'm released. Why don't I just make everybody scared and paranoid of Harry? And then, I'll ruin his life that way because he's supposed to help everybody and now everybody's scared of him.
Fuck this guy.
Fuck this guy. Yeah, sticks and stones and small caliber bullets may break my bones.
This is totally just reminding me of Harry Potter being like, it's Draco, it's Draco, it's Draco, it's Snape, it's Snape, it's Snape, and Hermione being like, can you think of anything else, please? Not everyone is out to get you. And then at the end of the book, even being like, bitch, I fucking told you they were out to get me.
Right. Okay, yeah, but not until now.
You seem worried about me. There are women up there, she said. You don't always think very clearly when women are concerned. Another moment I had to giggle at a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I brought you along, Murphy, to beat up chicks.
To beat up me if I start being dumb around the chicks.
Credit is where credit is due.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's kind of nice, actually, especially having this callback to Stormfront with the Helen Beckett character and seeing how the relationship with Murphy has changed from Stormfront to now.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, now she can joke about it. Now
after everybody's Googled, who the hell is this woman?
Yeah, after being like, wait a minute, do I actually need to be suspicious of Harry? Well, right now she just rolls with it. Now she just knows. Now she's like, exactly. She's like, even though this woman like shot you and tried to, you're still a dumbass. And if she goes, oh no, Dresden, I need help, you will immediately be like, okay, I will help you. What's wrong? Right? Yeah, yeah. So it's cute how.
Here I come to save the day.
Yeah, it's cute. He's like, Teemer, why did you think I brought you along? It's like, aw, because I know you'll be like, yeah, if I'm getting blinders on, you will be able to cut through the crap.
Okay, yeah. This is very cool. The amount of information that Harry learns in the next
30 seconds.
30 seconds outside this door is actually really cool. Going through the whole, well, they've put up a ward, but it's not as strong as mine, and I don't want to be a douchebag because I'll scare them if I tear it down, so the best thing I can do is knock, and as you see a little bit shortly after that, forcing his way inside so he's leaving his power at the door and, like, trying to give him
making
that little bit
him
of trust.
Disarming himself, yeah.
Totally, right? Like, it's actually really cool because a lot of this series is a wizard versus everything that's not a wizard. And it's very cool to see kind of a wizard versus a wizard and how that works and how that interacts. And obviously, these guys are nowhere near Harry's level, which is also kind of sad. It took this many women working together to build a ward that's nowhere close to Harry's by himself.
Yeah.
But still, I do still like how this novel is very much the magic versus magic. How do those
the have-nots versus the haves.
And, you know, obviously this is coming on the heels of now, including Molly in the world, too, and how her magic is different than Harry's, but...
Right. Yeah. It's nice seeing how Butcher has written, like, a subculture here very well.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
A little slice of what it's like.
Not just one brand
just
of wizard, you know?
From his perspective, too.
Yeah. Especially because also every wizard we've met so far has been white heavy counts. Hitters like him, too. You know, they're all powerful.
Mostly white council is what we're dealing with.
Harry's
these guys are not.
Been the, you know, small fry so far.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. A little slice of what our world is.
Yeah.
Welcome.
But I do like it. It's just, like you said, that subculture, that more, I don't know, like different breeds of dogs, you know? It's like, for a long time, you know, you're reading a book about a husky, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, but the
chihuahuas exist?
But the way that it applies to all these other dogs is, like, different in some cases.
What does a Dachshund do?
Exactly, Joe. It's, I like it a lot.
So, yeah, but even just the thought and stuff put into this wart, so you can figure out it's, so again, he's like, yeah, it's not like his is, yeah, what do you say, bricks and razor wire, and this is, like, chicken wire, and right. But also, he's like, maybe like a fire thing, but not enough to like. So his, I mean, at this point, Harry's like, I literally have had like zombies and demons breaking down my door. So Harry's basically are like, yeah, that shit's gonna splatter you. You're just gonna literally be a greasy spot on his stairs.
Oh, but then he puts it in a perspective of the building itself, too.
But here he's like, oh, you know what? They maybe don't want to blow up their whole apartment and all of their neighbors.
Crazy.
Wait, the right? Children that live in the building, they want them safe?
What? Right, exactly. So it's like,
which, to be fair, is a thought Harry's had about his own neighbors.
Yes, but again, he's, yeah, got, yeah.
How big is the place? Like, how, like, does it say
Harry's?
Again, like, how many people are above him? Because he's got, like, this big, massive thing in the bottom, but, like,
a big, massive thing. This is the first time I've ever heard anybody describe Harry's.
Well, okay, I think of it as big, massive because he's got a sub-basement,
there's
too.
There's two
like
families
that.
Above him. It the is... landlady on the main floor, and then another couple with a, potentially later on, young child. No, it's just a young couple above that.
It's just the boarding
okay,
house.
Okay, so it's like a three-unit.
Yeah, it's like
thing.
The top okay. floor, the main floor, and the basement.
I was never really sure. I had only conceived of, like, the bottom part, and clearly, like, over...
Yeah.
It's big to me because it's got two layers.
It's right.
It's big for a bachelor suite.
Yeah. But, again, then it could be the thing that, A, because Harry's got his own separate entrance outside and not contained within more of a building, that he can just ramp all that power. As long as you're not coming in the door, it doesn't matter what I can... Or potentially he can focus and contain or whatever to somewhat protect his other neighbors so he's not blowing up the whole house every time something comes knocking. But these guys, in the middle of an apartment building, exactly. So they've taken the thought to, right, and even just all of that, like, he's like, oh, I can, Murphy's like, why don't you just, like, knock it down? He's like, that'd be rude. Like,
well, that'd be rude and scary. And
scary.
I'm trying to be the
and
friend.
I'm, yeah, exactly. I'm like, wow, you don't even think of that for a second, right? You're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, he's like, oh, cute, a little ward,
again,
right?
Most of the time, Harry wants to be rude and scary.
And is like, oh boy, let me freak you the fuck. I mean, even like,
it's nice seeing the shift of gears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. A little bit like playing politician-ish, too.
It is. Well, even like when he went to see Morty back in, right? It was fun. And I mean, again,
well,
he
Morty
was like,
he was so pushy with. But
well,
now
yeah.
he's like actually kind of nice.
Well, but that's what I mean, right? Because he didn't have to worry about the invite because he's like, oh, Morty's been doing business out of his house. So that kind of buggered up. So he's like, it is, right? But it was something so stupid. Morty just wasn't paying attention. And Harry just walked in past him while his back was turned. And he was like, whoa, big mystical magical. I just appeared out of, you know what I mean? And like, exactly. He's all about trying to make them unsettled.
Catch them off guard.
Yeah. Off-putting in the hole, exactly right. Whereas here, he's
clearly rude because the guy already is suffering from anxiety. Like, poor Morty, man.
I mean, he's redeeming himself a bit. We saw in last book, but yeah, Justin was just annoyed with him at the time because he's like, "You're just fucking like sellout and whatever." He's like, "You actually kind of deuce me, but you're not." But anyways,
it's interesting to see all the ways that Justin has these like multitudinous ways of developing his approach depending on where he's coming from and who he's talking to and the investigative approach. Go fuck yourself, Tanzan.
I still don't hear the difference.
No, you actually had it, but I don't want you to use yours, so yours.
Touché.
You never put me to task with the word of the day.
That's why I don't want to. We're going to do it at the end of the episode now, so you don't know what it is.
This is only because you're the only
one. And then I would have a little bell that I'd go, I think that's the word of the day. Ding, ding, ding. Whenever something sounds fancy.
Something
ding,
weird,
ding,
yeah.
Ding.
It's that, it's that.
One of these things just doesn't belong. One of these things is not like the other ones.
And her vocabulary?
Yeah, no, you picking out the, oh, yes, yeah. So anyway, so it's funny. They go through this whole thing, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's going to, like, maybe set off fire alarms and get everybody out of the building and draw attention. It's no cool. It's like, yeah, that's really smart. Hey, Murph, go knock. Murphy's like, what the fuck? But he also makes a good point here. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm being a little bit facetious, but also I don't want to accidentally trigger it. So,
yeah,
so trust me, it's yeah, see, you go. And yeah, Murphy's still like, fuck her, I don't, like, fuck. Ladies first.
I like Abby. She's cute.
Oh my god. She is the cutest.
I just love her. Her and her little dog too.
Toto. So yeah, you get an interesting like what? As Abby keeps saying everything before.
This is just another really cool one. When you come across these lower level magic people, and we had way back when Lydia, who could, you know, predict the future, and, you know, nobody believed it, but it was kind of Cassandra's tears versus this, like, she can see
that?
Like 3 seconds into the future and doesn't dare try any more than that. And as Harry later explains it to Murphy, you know, she's trying to keep track of what has happened and what will happen and what she thinks will happen, what's most likely to happen. Like,
yeah,
it's cool.
That's a lot going on.
It is. Because again, you don't think you're like, ooh, if I knew the future, if I knew it. But you're like, yeah, that's actually fair. Actually, if you stop and think about it and break it down, that it, I mean, again, anybody with an ADD brain, you're already going 5 miles ahead of, right? You're already saying like the last sentence of your paragraph, and nobody, it went in your head, but nobody else has heard the start of that paragraph, so they're like, what the fuck are you talking about, right? So I can only imagine like exactly if that was your constant, just not your own feedback, but everything else coming in at you from everyone. I'm like, yeah,
that would. And that's why I find it interesting that she's wearing the epilepsy bracelet, because, you know, clearly that's what they would have, like, that Harry says, like, oh, that must have been what they thought was happening to her. And she knows the truth, and I know the truth, but healthcare professionals are just like, oh, yeah, it sounds like epilepsy or whatever. Then why would she wear it if she knows that that's not what it is? Or is the help for epilepsy just also coincidentally helping the...
Probably helps her pass in social situations better.
Oh, maybe, if it's just for that reason.
If they think it's, you know, some... Oh, yeah, she's got medical issues.
Zoning out and having, like, a minor...
I was just going to say, I was like, if she actually did ever have a medical episode, and then they'd be like, oh, it must be epilepsy, and then they're like, I don't know what you do for an epilepsy person. But still, I'd be like, I maybe don't wear that.
But, like, an allergy alert thing, and they're, like, pumping you full of, like, epinephrine.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I don't know, something like that.
I don't need that. Why, you know, oh, they need adrenaline. Yeah, adrenaline, unless you're actually having a heart attack, is not a good idea
exactly,
to pump directly
right?
into
Things
your
like
heart.
That. So anyways, I don't know exactly.
I mean, maybe she also does have epilepsy along with her talent because of it.
Like, also
it
possible.
Might affect her brain that way, and she legit is an epileptic.
It is also possible where, yeah, like, it's like
I would say
overlapping, but I still thought it was a little weird. I'm like, if she knows that she doesn't actually have epilepsy and it's just this weird future prediction thing.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's more a little bit like, yeah, what Tanzan said, more a little bit of like, it helps her cover and passes normal. And also it could be one of those things like when you can't explain it to anybody else. And again, everybody else is like, well, this has to be what it, you explain to your doctor why you won't wear your epilepsy bracelet.
Well, you're not gonna know,
you know.
I don't see my doctor every day.
Yeah, but
and I mean, like, if she's gone into a trance where she's unresponsive, it could that presents also like an
that's what I mean,
a
right?
A version of an epileptic.
Epileptic.
I can't see it.
Yeah. Multitudinous.
But I just, and specifically in that though, right? Most of them, because of the severity and stuff like that, like they can't drive and things like that, right?
Yes.
So you would have to have it on your. So I think there would potentially be reasons where she would be required to,
fair
if
enough.
That's what
fair
they diagnosed.
Enough.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't know enough about it. But yes, basically just where she's just like, whatever, I'm done fighting it.
She'd be a really like bad driver because she'd be so distracted by every possible crash that could have just been avoided all the time she's driving. Or does she like the best driver because she can see how to avoid every possible car crash coming
at
her? I
would be like so afraid to drive if that was my, like where I could see all the possibilities. Like,
oh my God, can you imagine?
And no, I think like I'd be the greatest stunt driver ever. I'd be in a Top Gun movie immediately. Like, no problem. Throw me on a plane. I got this shit.
I don't even need the training. I'm just gonna avoid everything anyways.
I got this. I believe in myself.
See, maybe with driving where you're in control, not maybe throw me on a plane because you're not the one driving that, but you're just gonna watch yourself die in 17 different scenarios.
It's not even like how to save your life. Four different ways.
You're just like,
it's Doctor Strange holding up the one finger. Like, and you're gonna miss.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I am having epilepsy. That's a hard word. An epilepsy attack over this, actually.
Epileptic.
I apologize to Andrew. You are. <don't know.
laughs> She sells seashells by the seashore. Mm. But her little Yorkie is named Toto.
Yes. It's like at the time that this episode will come out, the Johannes Cabal podcast will already be out, but I've done so many Something Wicked This Way Comes, and now we're going over this whole Toto thing, and I'm like, everything in the world is about like Wicked right now, which is a movie that's out right now and just came out right now. And I'm like, by the time all of our episodes come out, Wicked will be like 3 months old. No one's going to give a shit. But the timing is really good for us in real life.
It's funny.
But like, it's relevant, we swear.
But it's also cute how when Abby answers the door and is all like, oh, yeah, I know who you are. Oh, yeah, of course, you're okay. And then she's like, oh, maybe I'll let you talk to the person who's... And then she literally closes the door and goes away for like 5 minutes. I'm like, I love this. Because again, right, you know, I'd be like, oh, so come in, right? Like, your first impulse is to, like, I would rarely ever leave somebody standing on the doorstep and
close.
But she
doesn't have permission to.
And that's the thing. That's the thing, right? Just disconnect, right? Or me, exactly. I'm like, that's why. And again, if I was in that situation, maybe you would be trained out of it, right?
I mean, this is probably as polite as anyone in that room would actually have ever could have been.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm wondering. Okay, she knew who was at the door, so she volunteered, or she's just always the door person because she's the nicest one?
I'll handle this one because it'll go south real quick if you guys
do. She did say she was the closest one. She's like, oh, I was just the closest to the door. So that's her excuse for opening it this time. But yes, it's just, again, like none of those automatic social niceties. You know, it's like, no. We're not inviting you in until we're sure. And again, right, we're going to go, I'm going to let her have a chat and not leave the door open for you to hear or anything. Like, it's just, it's funny. It's cool, but it's just like, again, I'm like, I'd be so screwed because I'd be like, come in, stand here, and then be like, what's a guy, and I don't know what to do, and I let him in. And,
the right. Social awkwardness of it is fun.
It is. It's fun where she's just like, I'm just going to leave you guys out there, and yeah, we're going to go figure out if we're going to invite you in or not.
That's why she's so crazy to me, because she knew, like, she opens the door on the third knock, which means she's either right on the other side of it or was sitting in her chair and knew it was coming. She knew they were about to knock, so she was already going for the door before the knocks even started,
That's
right?
the impression, yeah.
And when she closes the door on them, she can then probably see, like, okay, there's an instance where Harry forces his way in or an instance where he doesn't. Like, everything is a test constantly. Like, which Harry do I have today? For her, I think, especially like after they left, I think she should be like, well, I saw these six versions, and
this
he went
is what
with
he
the
went
best
with.
One, so does that mean we trust him or not? Like, I don't know. Like,
good point.
I don't
good
know if
point.
She ever bothers to go through any of that because it would be so tedious to a certain point, but I still wonder if that, like, works in Harry's favor with this particular person, because she's like, I did see a future where he killed us all. He didn't do that. So should we be afraid that that was
or better yet that none of those futures had him killing us? So,
well, and if she only has like a couple of seconds of insight though, then
I mean, just like forcing the door open is all she saw, and he didn't. So she's like, did she close that door? And she seemed bubbly, but she closed that door really apprehensive that it was about to be slammed open again.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't. She's like, okay, this is a good timeline for now, but in 3 seconds. That's your whole day. Every 3 seconds, this is a good timeline. Okay, this is a good timeline. Okay, oh, fuck. It's a good timeline.
Well, even that, because as Murphy was like, that was weird, and Harry starts explaining to her, and then she's like, oh, that could be useful. And he's like, yeah, but think about it. So you can see like a couple seconds in. Now you see a minute in. Now you see an hour. Now everything is exponential. And Murphy's like, ew. Right? Like, no kidding. That could be so hugely. Because like he says, nothing's written in stone. Because like, you know, she's like, again, the last second, she could have changed how she introduced herself, you know? But
and still gotten into a car accident.
I miss that. She introduced herself and got into a car accident.
Miss Stunt Driver. Oh. If I would do that, I would be a stunt driver and still get in a car accident.
Still get in a car accident, yes.
Yeah. Too vague. Sorry.
No, that's, so in the Fourth Wing series, don't judge, there's these, like, everyone has powers, okay? They get, like, a special power, and they all get a dragon, and their powers and their dragons are kind of this, like, unifying bond. It's, like, kind of like a magical power that your dragon grants you, and it's, you know, there's...
almost like a witchy and a familiar kind
of...
Like
sort of...
Anne McCaffrey book-esque.
Sort of, and but some are illegal to have, and if you have it, they kill you.
Oh.
Like the government, basically.
Is this just like a no choice? Is this just what you're born with?
It's what your dragon gives you. Your dragon is like, you get this power. And then the humans are like, illegal, way too overpowered. We're going to kill you before you like overthrow the government and turn everyone against us.
Wow, rude.
So the power is mind reading. And there's two versions of mind reading. There's like one version where if you have it, you can only like mind read if you touch someone.
Right.
And you can only see like their most recent memories. And that one is like government controlled. Like they like basically
the only ones who can have that power
They draft you immediately when you have that power. They're like, okay, you're going to come be like a corporal our guy.
I know this is not necessarily relevant, but how do they know then?
There's like, it's almost like puberty. Like you almost can't hide it. You just kind of start spouting off and doing shit. And they're like, okay, that's your power.
Suddenly you're invisible.
Pretty much. Exactly.
Yeah. But like mind reading is
you're good little brainwashed peons and you tell your teachers that your powers are coming through and you can, you know, read your friends' minds or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
But the second version is like the mind reading where you don't have to touch them and you can basically go through their memories and do whatever the fuck you want in there and totally mess it up. And those are the ones that they kill immediately because then you're going to have regular civilians walking around. Not civilians, you know, not everyone gets a dragon, but still, these students.
Anybody and everybody have access to whatever the fuck they want.
Exactly. So the point is that those are the ones that get killed right away. And so part of the reason too is like the kids start going insane. Like you getting like, when you start like puberty, basically, you're getting so much information right at once. You start basically epileptic or whatever in the middle of the classroom, the hall, whatever. And then basically the teachers execute you on the spot. They're like, oh, your signet's coming in. Boom.
Oh, jeez.
And okay. So in like the first or second book, I don't even remember, that's what happens. You see a kid come into this power and they execute him on the spot. And the whole student body's like, yo, what the fuck? And everyone's like, oh, well, it's dangerous. And this is why. And the students are like, oh, okay. Or anyways, this is a total spoiler, by the way, if you haven't read this series. Yeah. Flash forward to the main male character has this power and got away with keeping it a secret the whole time and just hasn't told anyone that that's his power and has been faking a different power the whole time. Or actually has two, but that's a different reason why he has two. But point is that it reminds me a little bit too of this girl. It's like if it gets too insane, it's almost a mercy kill, which is like how the government basically explains it off as to like why they're murdering like, you know, 13-year-olds or whatever when this power starts to come in. They're like, it's like a mercy kill. Like they're going to go crazy insane anyways.
Yeah.
They can't control it, blah, blah, blah. And if they did control it, we wouldn't want them to.
Yeah.
Right? But it's kind of that same thing here with Abby is like what it reminds me of is it's a blessing to have only the 3 seconds.
Only a very limited,
because otherwise, yeah, like you said, like Harry says, 1 minute, 1 hour, it's too fucking much and you're going to go.
Which is probably why the gatekeepers...
And that's why I feel like the gatekeeper is Abby times 10, but he can handle the shit.
And yeah.
Possibly because it has more power, ended up learning more techniques to deal with it, whereas she probably also doesn't have the resources to as much education on it, because it's kind of just like, how far can you go?
Yeah.
You're fine.
It's kind of nurture versus nature, you know, in both aspects, the gatekeeper had an advantage.
Yeah, she's not white council...
Well, neither would have the gatekeeper in the beginning either, but I kind of suspect sort of...
There was some privilege there.
Well, no, but I kind of get the feeling that sort of the culture that the gatekeeper would have come from lent itself to this different sort of understanding of the universe.
Well...
That from the get-go,
that
whereas,
too.
You know, Abby thrown in the middle of Chicago in, you know, mid-90s or whatever. She's probably born 80s.
Yeah, somewhere around that. Like,
I don't know. What does it say? She's in her late 30s or something when she answers the door, so for early 2000s.
Yeah, 70s even. Yeah.
They wouldn't know either. He started, but obviously, like Damore and stuff like that, knew that Harry and Elaine were going to come into more power. He knew they weren't going to be just like Abby's. So the gatekeeper, again, even though he still had to earn his way onto the White Council, but I think he knew he was going to be more of a full-fledged wizard
To that expectation, I agree. I just meant more of this,
he still would have
the extent or whatever is. Probably not, you know, how it started out. He probably wasn't seeing, you know, 100 years, 10 years, whatever
granted.
Was from the get-go.
Yeah.
I feel like that was, you know, a developed craft over time to, you know.
Yeah, but that's part of what I mean about why he's able to handle and does more is because he is better suited to that, whereas she is not, so that's all she can. Yes, that was more that, he has the capacity to...
Touché.
Expand into that.
Wasn't in culture so weird? I kind of almost to a certain degree, I get like, okay, first of all, they just don't have the bodies to track down random magical kids. But like, just how many fall through the wayside because they're not big enough to like show on their scale anyways? If you're...
Yeah.
Like, you almost have to become a warlock for them to even care. Because if you can't accidentally become a warlock, we probably don't want you anyway. So
like, yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, it, just at least my impression from reading these books up to this point is that you start off with more shut doors than open doors.
Mm-hmm. Totally. 100 billion.
I mean, unless you're born into it and stay into your family members stay alive.
I know, that's why it's weird, because Harry implies when he's talking to Charity or Michael or whatever, but he's like, well, normally it's like kind of passed through bloodlines, but like we don't understand it entirely, and it does come from like outside sources, and we don't know literally anything about anyone else's family. Literally at all. We know the Carpenters, we know Dresden. That's literally it. We don't know fucking Elaine's deal. We don't know Orphan, obviously. But
It sounds a little bit like they treat these people that are the lesser thans, like squibs are in the Harry Potter world.
And that is part of what Harry's piss off has been through a lot of this, too. He's like, yeah, if you're a have-not, he's like, you basically don't exist, and which is why
they're not even supposed to tell them about the council that they can't get into. It's not even, you know, oh, there's this whole,
unless maybe you do something bad, in which case we're going to come scare the shit out of you for not knowing
exactly.
at all.
Exactly. I'm like, the wardens themselves are almost a kind of a ghost story.
They're the dementors.
Right? Like, it's not even, you know, wizard cops that everyone knows about. It is the CEI, is Homeland watching me right now? Like,
Homeland real? Like, right? Yeah, they're not even just like your neighborhood friendly cops that are accessible.
That's almost in some ways like not, I'm not going to say unchecked power, but kind of, because they'll come in.
The wardens, more or less.
This is what
I
mean.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're right. They are more
they
or less
unchecked.
They will
make judgment, which results in death right then and there, kind of thing, like, or like within an hour.
Yeah.
Well, potentially. These are the guys that are basically standing against every monster and saying, we're in charge of the humans, we're protecting them, you fuck off. There's no one else to come in and be like, well, we're protecting the humans from you, White Council, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And we can see, like, that it would only take one person to decide against it anyways. Like, of course they're going to be afraid because, like, it's a totalitarian sort of an existence already. Like, the Merlin almost already did that on
the best Deverly, thing the yeah, Red Court could be doing right now is fucking going through orphanages and being like, who's magical? Who's magical? Okay, not good enough. But
little dowsing rods.
You know, kind of, honestly.
Found ya.
Be like, you know who doesn't have the manpower for this? The White Council. You know who does? Fucking Red Court.
Yeah, right? That can reproduce however fast they can.
Although I think that would probably fall more under the Black Court because Mavra's got the magical touch.
Well, she can do magic, but that's the thing is that anyone, if you were to find a magical person before the White Council did, that's it. That's all the fuck you need.
Yeah. And I mean, don't forget, Bianca was learning, like Mavra was teaching Bianca, and she was in the Red Court. So obviously Reds can train up to a certain, whether it's all learned or any of it is, I don't know, the person I used to be was magical and now, but he even says that too.
I would
like,
think that the Black Court would want to renew their numbers a little bit more.
Oh, yes.
The Reds don't have a problem with that.
Yes, yeah, the Blacks need more, but Harry's like, if the Reds ever got their hands on a wizard and turned him, because they'd have all of our secrets and our intel and so much power and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, Jessica, you have a fair point. They just started snatching up the magical kids.
That's what I mean, though. Like, okay, yeah, you're not gonna have White Council secrets, but you're gonna still have a fucking powerhouse eventually.
And depending on how good you train, especially like you say, if you pick somebody up, like prepubescent kind of a thing, super great, fantastic, brainwashy sleeper cell. You don't have to turn them. You're probably better off not. But I mean, even like
that could randomly just
Ortega,
go against the
they could completely infiltrate.
Yeah, they had entire communes already of loyal servant villages, whatever.
Yeah, paid their
fealty and did their bullshit. Whatever.
Exactly. You feed and house me. Go ahead. Drink my blood. That's cool. That's the payoff here, right? Yeah. So exactly. I was like, you could definitely.
But I just mean since the majority, like the White Council doesn't consider it worth it because, first of all, the vast majority aren't magical enough to make the club anyways. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we don't even want to go look for those little plebeians. And then, okay, oops, a couple of actually powerful ones slipped through. Well, you know what? We were busy. But I'm like, but the Red Court has a lot of time to go and find.
Yeah.
Go find the plebeians, turn those ones, who gives a shit about the small, low-time losers. But eventually, you're going to find a diamond in the rough. Like, oh, hey, we found ourselves a fucking warlock and another one and another one and another one.
Exactly, right? I was going to say they could. It would be a fantastical way if they could.
I think, like, I don't know. Not to shit on Jim Butcher's world building here because it's generally amazing, but the recruitment, you know. Well, Rodriguez, who found you? How were you discovered and brought into the White Council?
Yoshi.
And
Wild Bill.
I just like, how did any of you...
Kowalski?
Yeah. Keep going. Name another one.
Yes, too.
Don't say Molly. It doesn't count.
She's not a warden.
You're talking about just apprentices, yeah. Oh, yeah, apprentices. But yeah, but that's my point is that I just...
Not in this timeline.
Whoa.
But it almost seems like a lottery to, A, yeah. be discovered before you go crazy. Like,
I was going to say, it is something sometimes that would be... Because like you say, right, to a certain degree down through bloodlines and whatever, right? And then it just so happens that, yeah, the first few families we meet are mostly all orphans and everything, so we don't know what the fuck they're... right, but exactly, right? Like, Rodriguez... Or if Carlos could have had an aunt, a brother, a sister, a mother, a grandparent.
That's just weird.
I mean?
It's just like there's no mention. Hey. Like, oh, yeah, my mom got killed in the war 6 months ago. Thanks, Harry.
yeah. Well, that too, right? But yeah, exactly. They don't ever really say how and when they do find
just Harry saying, oh, yeah. Typically, it's passed through bloodlines. And then the only bloodline, we've already mentioned this before, but the only bloodlines you know about are Margaret Le Fay to Harry and Charity to Molly. And that's it. That's the only family you know about. It's like,
that's what I mean. It's like, yeah, you have absolutely no idea.
Exactly. And okay, yeah, well, they're having kids every 400 years, okay? You don't understand. The population
is not
booming anytime soon, but still.
So Anna Ash is the one that comes back to the door and really just comes right up and says that they hadn't done anything wrong, addresses the whole warden part, which I do kind of appreciate the 1984 drop.
My bowl of Big Brother-o's. Yeah, well, and that's it. Like, just first thing, she's like, no one hears broken laws. He's like, gee, that's great. Can I come in?
Well, she's smart. She also asks Murphy for her ID because, like...
And she checks it.
Yeah, it's a very smart thing to do.
I like that Murphy is not too proud to do it. She's not, you know, this was like that sort of thing, like Rick and Green would be like, whoa, you should fucking trust me and like blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I like that Murphy's just like, yeah, here's my shit, let's go.
Oh, well, and again, this is a very basic part.
They're legally required to once you ask, like, for identification.
Yeah, they have
to. Have to provide it. And if they don't, they are themselves within...
It all depends on the state, whether you have to provide a badge number or a name or a first name or a last name. But yes, to a certain extent, you have to present something.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're going to introduce yourself.
She's still straight-laced. Like, of course,
no,
she's
no, no,
going
to
give it. But,
she's not here to, like, be shady or anything
that's what
still,
I mean, though,
I just mean, like,
they always say that, too. They're always like, actually, look at it. If you're going to ask for the ID, actually look for it. Which part of me is always like, oh, the fuck do we know what to look for most of the time? But yeah, go and look up. But yes, at least Murphy is like, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. If you're fucking going to ask for ID, then yes, you're allowed to take a moment and actually look at it and see if it looks like I printed it off on my... you know, Play-Doh maker at home or whether or not this is, you know, but yeah, Murphy's not going to get pissy about this kind of a thing, right? Like, again, as far as her straight up policey man thingy, she's like, no, for sure.
Considering the circumstances that these women are going through, how they handle the circumstance is very smartly done.
Yeah, and she does. She has this conversation and she finds out. I mean, yeah, she's a little bit prickly to start. But again, in all fairness, they don't know. Like, again, all of a sudden they're all hush hush. Things are happening. And then somebody just shows up the fuck at your door, right? How did you know? Why are you here? What are you doing? You know, so I get all of that. And then even when he sort of says, right, when he starts saying, I know shit's going on. I'm here to help and all that kind of stuff. And she's still like, but the level where you like, that's when she steps in too. And she's like, hey, like, again, I get you don't know him, big scary guy. I'm another, like, woman here. I'm a cop. I'm, like, dude, he's on the up and up, right? Like, again, I think it helps Harry's credibility that way, too. Not just to keep Harry out of trouble with the women, but to also show to the women that Harry's not as much trouble and not as much of a threat, right? She's like, I'm not here to fuck you guys over. And even, like you say, like, they must have some idea because Abby is, oh, of course we know who you are. So they've heard about Murphy and stuff like that, right? They obviously, again, if they're that familiar with Harry, they've probably seen some of the SI cases that Harry has helped out with the police, right? So... yeah, I think, like you say, just giving that extra step of, like, credibility and whatever to have Murphy there backing him, right? It's like she's not likely to stab you in the back.
It was a good choice for him to bring her.
Bring
in.
Her, yeah. And then just the perfection of, and she's like, okay, well, that's all great and fine, but I'm still not inviting you in. And he's like, perfect. Oh, like, again,
let me disarm myself in a dramatic, dramatic, fabulous way.
Well, and that's just it, right? It's like, I'm being rude and I'm coming in uninvited, but it's also the best, politest thing I could possibly do because you know, I have just unarmed myself.
Well, and the fact that both kind of Harry and Anna acknowledge, like, they're both aware, you wanted me to do this.
Yeah.
And you talked me into doing this, but I knew what you were doing and I accepted to do it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird dance, but I don't know. I like that kind of everyone knows what happened. It's not like Harry didn't trick anyone. She didn't trick Harry. it's all on the level. It's like,
yeah,
they don't need to overtly.
Yeah, exactly. They're all in the know, so they don't need to spell it out. Right, but exactly, she makes that point of like, okay, well, yeah, cool,
I'm not
inviting
you in.
I'm not,
find a way in, oh no.
And then, yeah, and then exactly, him just being like, perfect, this is one more way for me to prove that I'm not here to hurt you guys. So, yeah, fantastic. And then, yeah, she's like, how did you know the ward didn't blow up?
But yeah. It's a judgment call, not
logic, my dear Watson.
Yeah.
I was assuming you would blow up the whole apartment building, so we took a chance.
So
now then, yeah. The peanut gallery here, speaking on behalf of Dresden. That's interesting. Two of them speak up for him.
The peanut.
Yeah, the fact that Helen is the one that vouches for him is like, okay.
Well, I was going to say, and again, that's one of those things.
I
take it almost kind of defeated, like, well, he's here now anyway.
So. Yeah, you know, I mean, again, she's not like, I'm not saying he's going to do us any good. I'm not saying it's good, but basically, yeah, like, if he gives his word, I've seen.
He testified against me in court. He didn't lie once.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know? But exactly, it's that whole, it's like, nah, you know, damning with faint praise, or I don't know if that's quite the right expression for this, but yeah, exactly, it's that backhanded compliment, whatever, right, where, I don't know about the source of it, but again, if your enemies say you're trustworthy, then I guess you have to believe it.
Well, he does, on request, give his word, and swears on his power that he's not going to...
Yeah, okay, fine, you're here, you're butting your way in, let's just take it all the way. So, yeah, so, which I don't know, can you swear on your power if you've just left it all at the door? But yes, this big here, because yeah, Harry said it before, you go around breaking promises when you've got power, it erodes and diminishes that. So, yeah, it's not just like, you went back on your word. It's like, no, Harry has to take this shit seriously. It can have, like, massive ramifications for him.
What's the companion name of a matron? Is it just master?
You know, like, master, mistress. Yeah, I suppose, because the master of the house and then the mistress of the house. So I suppose if the Mary would be the matron of the house, I guess.
But like
just a companion, really.
Well, yeah, but you like
no, the word though is like the title is what she's.
Yeah, like in the States they have these like matrons and whatever the male version is for jails, and it's like they're kind of cops, but they're not really cops.
Wardens.
And they're there to be like, you know, like if a bunch of like male cops arrested a girl, they'll bring in a matron, and she's not really a cop, but she's kind of a cop.
Okay. Right.
And then she's there to be like the woman in the room. So that it's not just, like, one girl and a bunch of, like, male cops. It's just, like, an extra safety thing.
Yeah, I think matrons like probably.
Certain states have. Yeah, matron is a term. I just don't remember what the male term is. Anyways, point is like, I kind of see Murphy as acting in that role right now. Like, she's kind of like the, like, I don't know, girl vouching for Harry right now. She's like, he's one of the good ones. I'm a girl. I'm here to say that you can listen to this guy and, you know, bring a strange man into your apartment. And he kind of says as much. He's like, why would I bring a cop if I was going to hurt you guys? But I see it as a little bit too in that way. Hey, you guys are scared of me right now. I didn't bring Michael, another big scary dude. I brought the, you know, lookingly, like, you know, not, you know, physically.
Yeah, just don't piss her off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, obviously we know Murphy can fucking handle her shit, but by looks alone, the least threatening person I know. Next to maybe Butters, but.
Right. Well, he gets to address the group and lets them know that there's up to what he thinks is 5 female practitioners made to look like they've killed themselves, and that he thinks that there's probably a serial killer and that they're probably next.
That too, Harry offering the information up first. He's being as disarming and upfront and
totally
honest.
Forthright, yeah.
And I mean, honestly, again, as the audience and as Team Harry and as somebody who's seen his whole life thus far, for us, it's all like, yeah, this is how Harry is. But realistically, this is kind of the first time in the entire books we've ever seen him be this honest and upfront and nice and caring about people's, you know, space and boundaries and fear and...
I was gonna...
It's unusual to see him so polite.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was gonna say...
Where's the sarcasm?
The softer side of Dresden that,
it's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Actually, like, watching a hero be a hero. It's like, okay, killing everyone was great, but you know, walk the
That's
walk too sometimes.
That's not what's neat. Yeah, you don't need to stomp in with your big old boots and crush everything in sight. This is the support side, not the...
I like it a lot. He did a good job here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He presented himself in the best way possible here.
Well, and what he says is enough to at least rattle enough of them for him to find out that he is under suspicion and why he's under suspicion and not, and where
we keep seeing people wander off.
Mac
with a
may
big
have
gray
gotten
cloaked.
That impression too.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what he's been hearing. He's like, people are going off with a gray cloak. So you're the only gray cloak around here, Harry. Yeah. Which again, It's kind of funny because given, again, that Harry is an investigator and all that to start with, and he has come along, I'm like, how dumbass do you, right? You know what I mean? Like, oh, let me put on my Ronald McDonald outfit and go do some sneaky crime and hope nobody notices me. You know what I mean? I'm the only warden in town. Let me put my gray cloak on. Nobody will think it's me.
You know it's going to be a flower delivery hat. Come on.
Yeah, right? Like, that would make
or
more sense.
Or the janitor.
I was going to say, he's gotten away with that way more often. If you just see the FTD guy walking down the street, nobody's going to think twice. But you put that cloak on him, boy, oh boy. So yeah, it's one of those things that's obviously, okay, yes, that draws your attention to that and makes you think that, but at the same time, also the really stupidest thing you can do, because that emphasizes, like, I don't know. I'm like, do you not think this is maybe a setup? I don't know.
Well, and things get weird because as you know, the crowd doesn't necessarily believe his story. They're all like, okay, stop acting like that's all the information you have, motherfucker. And he's like, it is. What do you guys know? And it comes to find out that
so
20 women are missing, first of all, or 20 from their community. They don't necessarily specify
20
women,
magic users in less than a month have vanished.
Less than a month. And we've had, Harry said this ages ago, books and books or short stories.
Basically like one a day kind of a thing, right? Yeah. That people are dropping like...
I think this is back in Welcome to the Jungle when he mentions just how fucking frequently people disappear. And he's like, the numbers are atrocious, how many people. But in our community... we actually tend to stick together a lot more because we know what's out there. We're not accidentally wandering into vampire dens as often as your average Joe because we know vampire dens exist.
Exactly, yeah.
So there's a big reason for these people being afraid.
Like, 20 have gone missing since the end of last month. Then, yeah, that's significant and actually probably not them of their own accord choosing to, you know, start up again elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting fact we just learned. And then... fucking mic drop. They were all last seen alive in the company of a tall man in a gray cloak. And then, oh my god, all the dominoes fall. Mm-hmm. Because Mac himself was like, was it you? Mm-hmm. And then Harry's like, oh, and you guys think it's me. And it's like, finally you start to see this like, oh, no wonder no one's coming to me specifically for help. Like, they have for the last several years. Because I'm apparently the one doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, even just to contradict what I was just saying there, you know, again, it speaks to the arrogance that everybody, and not least of all Harry himself, has been that the White Council are it. There is no one above them. They are the, you know what I mean? So yeah, why not put on your cloak and escort these, you know what I mean? Like exactly like, oh, you're in trouble. We need to talk. Or, oh, I'm going to help you. Come with me. Or like, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, there. He could also be using that. Like you say, yeah, not only does it identify you, but again, it's also that, you know, dress up as a policeman and people will go with you. No problem. Because you're a policeman. You're there to help them, right? So, yeah, it's that double-sided blade of it that, yes, it makes it more obvious, but also makes all your victims that much more willing. Mm-hmm. Or just scared shitless that they're not going to resist arrest or whatever the fuck you might be there for, right?
So not only do they mention a tall man in a gray cloak, they say others have been seen with a beautiful dark-haired man.
Pale skin.
Harry doesn't know any beautiful, pale-skinned, dark-haired men. Mm-hmm. Or does he?
Who occasionally steal his cloak.
Or his duster. Or his sandwiches. So, yes.
So, yeah, it does kind of sound like a warden's being described here.
Yeah. Thomas and Harry, what have you been up to?
So, is it an impersonator? Is it actually one or the other? Is it just a coincidence? Cowell was described as being fairly tall, and he's Black Council, more or less. Harry's, you know,
determined.
Yeah.
I mean, this really could be anybody, but it's also that they have been seen in the magical community before.
But exactly.
And Harry has been impersonated prior as well.
I was going to say,
his face has already been used.
It's not that hard for shape-shifty demon things to, yeah, if you're going to change your face, you can also change your height, like, you know.
And I mean, again,
he automatically assumes that's what the first thing that happens. I'm surprised he's not shouting that this is what's happening now.
Somebody's got my face again. But more to the point that, you know, supposedly everyone knows Harry's the only warden in Chicago. This is his base. He's the one. There shouldn't be other ones like him walking around.
So he compares some of the names of the victims and finds out that nobody actually really knows who Jessica Blanche is. They know the other ones, like, but
so
that one is
still
a mystery.
Still the odd man out, still doesn't fit. And yeah, and Anna knows, like, the names of all of them, too. Right? Harry's just come across a couple, but Anna is, right? It's not just that people, like, people we know, people that, right? She actually can name all of them, too. It's like, oof.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things that he does that is wise is if he does find out that it is a warden that's doing things, that he will personally take care of it.
Yeah. We don't want no dirty cops on our payroll. We will. Yeah. I'm not standing for that. Not in my house.
So they get kicked out right before something interesting happens.
I just realized that they actually use this. Some of these things are not like the others. Some of these things are kind of this.
Yeah.
I just did that earlier.
No, you probably stole it.
I would say that, but to be honest, I hadn't finished reading this chapter. So.
That one's mine, bitch.
That one was mine, bitch.
Yeah, another one of those lucky, lucky moments.
What happened?
Okay, well, that's it. Time to go, everybody. Thanks for coming.
But before we do get to that, they sort of touch on the possibility of, this sounds like somebody we know.
I like that Harry is loyal to a fault. It's not Thomas. Even if it's in his head, he's like, there could be doubt. But out loud, he's like, it's not fucking Thomas. 100% I trust my brother who wouldn't do it. Good job, Harry. You're a good brother.
Mm-hmm.
Something weird is happening, but it's not Thomas' fault.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it's fair. I'm like, well, everyone's jumping to conclusions and assuming it's me and I didn't do anything. So, you know what? I'm not just automatically going to jump to conclusion and assume it's Thomas.
And you literally just dealt with Madrigal all last book. Like, there's a lot of pale, beautiful vampires in the world, okay?
Right?
Like, I was going to say. There's got to be a few brunettes out there.
Thomas is the only, dark haired.
The main ones all live in Chicago or right around it.
It takes you back to, like, book four. It's like, you all live in Chicago. She's like, no, Laura. She's like, no, we have houses all around the world, dumbass. This is when we're in Chicago, this is where we're at.
We just happen to be in Chicago all the time. I don't like to travel.
This is a lot. Again, it's that whole Sunnydale thing. It's just that nexus.
Everyone's willing to come to me here, so it works.
Right? Right. Harry's like, boy, wow, good thing I picked Chicago. Yeah. Or did he? Or is there a reason you were drawn here?
Why?
Harry does start to feel this anger that Thomas might be involved in, so he decides to ground himself in the sidewalk, and just as he does this... Everything goes bonkers and blows up, including Murphy's car.
Okay, pause real quick. The last chapter that we just did, chapter 5, was so short.
Yep.
Incredibly short. And the reason for that is because Jim Butcher does a mic drop like every 10 paragraphs. And then this chapter has like fucking 7 mic drops and the chapter just keeps going. There were so many times when like listening to the audiobook, I'm like, and they all look like you. And I'm like, oh, end of the chapter. And then they're still talking. I'm like, never mind. And then she's like, time to leave, Mr. Dressy. He's like, wow, what happens in 10 minutes? And she's like, that's enough for you to know. He's like, okay, fine. And I'm like, all right, end of the chapter. And then nothing. And then I touched the ground and everything blew up. And I'm like, okay, we gotta be done. And it's still not done. And I'm like, damn, Butcher, like, wait, what the fuck happened here? You just like...
The editor's like, okay, we have to not have this have 72 chapters.
Literally.
Let's just combine some of this, okay?
Can you please just cut a couple?
I mean, in all fairness... The car blowing up is the end of the chapter.
It's not like everything blew up. He still monologues a little bit afterwards. Whereas a lot of the time, Butcher is always like, mic drop! Okay, we'll explain it in the next chapter.
Yeah.
This is when he does the explanation in the chapter where it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not his style. He must have been feeling sick that day.
Yeah. The instant I released the excess energy into the area around us, a nearby stoplight blew out, Murphy's cell phone started blaring Stars and Stripes Forever, 3 car alarms went off, and Murphy's Saturn coupe went up in a brilliant ball of fire and an ear-shattering blast of thunder.
Boom!
It saved our lives. Dramatic, but probably true. How many times is somebody going to try and fuck with their car, Harry? At this point, I think you are safer just taking a random taxi every time you leave the house. That is not trackable.
But see, that's also the kicker. It's not Harry's car.
This time, but it's still like people knew he was traveling in it. Obviously, he was being watched, whatever.
Yes.
The point is that I think at this point, Harry has to accept that always having a brand new taxi that no one knew was going to be his ride next showing up is the safest mode of transfer these days.
If there were guardian angels in these books, like... Poor Harry's guardian angel.
What do you mean if?
There are.
Definitely are.
We've already established that's who Michael has looking out for.
His guardian angels in the background just shaking. Yeah.
The reason Harry doesn't have one is the carpenters have 20. But yeah, no kidding.
That would be one stressed out angel.
Sorry, Gabriel.
That's why he sticks with the fallen.
Yep.
Lashy's like, maybe you should touch grass.
Yep, that's crazy.
This concludes our episode 18.3, The Thick Plottins. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There you have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.